Now, antibiotics and vaccines save lives, but to do so, they usually need to be kept cold. And this can be a bitter pill to swallow for third world countries that just can't afford the necessary refrigeration, despite having probably the most to gain from these sorts of treatments. But now, that might be about to change, thanks to a breakthrough by Tufts University scientist David Kaplan, who has discovered that wrapping vaccines and antibiotic molecules in a layer of silk can keep them in pristine condition for months, even at temperatures above 40 degrees C.
My lab has studied silk for over 20 years, so we've gotten to know the protein very well. We've learned how to clean it up, how to purify it, and how to use it in medical devices and medical materials of all kinds. And as a result of that, we've also studied the ability to put things like enzymes into silk and show that they're inherently very stable under those conditions. And that led us to hypothesize if an enzyme, which is a protein as well, is stable in silk, perhaps there's broader utility to entrap and stabilize other molecules like vaccines where there's a real need and a real challenge.
When we say silk, it implies a scarf or a tie or something. Are we really talking the same stuff that you would weave into a silk scarf or a silk tie when you're doing your work?
So yes and no. We're certainly talking about the same source material. So the material we start with comes from the textile world. And that's a great thing because that means there's a huge supply of the material available, which makes the costs relatively low. The downside is you would never introduce textile silk into the human body. You'd have severe problems with inflammation and you would have difficulty. And so to use the silk, we and others have learned over the years how to get rid of all the proteins on the silk that otherwise would cause inflammation. And when you do that properly, you have a very nice material that's compatible with the human body and, in fact, has been used and FDA approved in a number of medical devices already.
So you don't get reactions with the immune system, for example, because it's a foreign protein. So you'd think if you put that into the body that the body would recognize that as not part of it and you'd get a reaction.
That's right. And yet the reactions are very, very tepid. And so you don't see any kind of major problems that you'd expect. In fact, all the studies published around the world from our lab and others always show that of all the approved degradable polymers used in medical materials, silks always tend to be the lowest in terms of any inflammation or immune response. So it has to do with the chemistry of the silk. It's a very hydrophobic molecule. It has to do with the fact that it degrades in the body very slowly. And I think this combination of features helps to give this very low response.
So what did you do? You took some silk that had been prepared in the way you say and then mixed them with antibiotic or even viruses to see what the silk would do.
That's correct. We create solutions of the silk protein in water. And once you have that, we can add in essentially any bioactive molecule that you would like. In this study, we showed with vaccines and antibiotics. And then you have to process that solution into a stable material format. And it can be in the form of a film, it can be in the form of a fiber, a gel, or we make things like microneedles, sort of like a Band-Aid that can administer through the skin.
And when you do that, what impact does it have on the stability of the agents that you invest in silk in this way?
Remarkable improvement in stability, not just under refrigeration conditions, but even at temperatures as high as 45 degrees centigrade. And even over 6 months, you still retain the far majority of the activity of these vaccines, which is quite remarkable, I think.
Compared with had you not had the silk there, the activity
That's
would
right.
by that time have just gone to zero.
That's correct. You would have lost all activity.
Do you know how it works?
In the paper, we also discuss a little bit on the mechanism, and in brief, what we find is there's clearly some interactions between the silk protein itself and the proteins on, at least in this case, the inactivated virus that we use that appears to essentially pin the protein together and prevent it from denaturing or aggregating and losing bioactivity. And that's coupled with a low water content in the silk. And then the last point is silk is dominated by these very, very small nanoscale hydrophobic domains. We call these beta sheets. These are the crystals. And because they're very, very small, there's lots of interfaces, lots of room for vaccines and other molecules to sort of pin up against these structures and become immobilized and less prone to be inactivated.
It sounds like a pretty awful example for me to give to you, especially when we're talking about medical things. But I've won enormous amounts of money in bars by betting people I can bend a cigarette so that the one end will touch the filter end. And the way you do it is by wrapping it in a £5 note. And having the investiture of the note around the outside of the cigarette means you can make it do unfeasibly bendy things. Are the particles, then, that you're putting into the silk, are they effectively being stabilised by this enwrapping or this ensheathing in the silk, and that just stops them falling apart?
I think it's a great way. It's two things. One is exactly what you say. I think it prevents them falling apart or falling into the misshapen form so they're no longer active. And the other is it prevents them from aggregating too much because there's not a lot in one spot. And so I think that combination helps a lot.
How do you get the particles away from the silk again, though? So when you actually want to use the antibiotic or you want to metaphorically smoke the cigarette, when you want to administer the vaccine or whatever, do you need to get it away from the silk or is that not necessary?
There are many options. The three we most commonly talk about, one is you can resolubilize the film with the vaccine in it and inject that. And silk has been injected before. It's safe to use. There needs to be more human clinical trials done, but that would be the easiest format, and I think that would be very attractive. If you don't want to do that, you could certainly solubilize and then separate the vaccine from the silk. And the third, which we happen to like the best, would be when you fabricate the films, you fabricate them in these microneedle formats that I mentioned before, and these become essentially a film as a Band-Aid strip with little pinpricks on one side. And so you can simply put that on your skin, and the vaccine would then get through the skin based on the dissolution of the silk under the skin. So you never have to separate it from the silk. You can just use it as is, as an intact device. And so that's very attractive because that's sort of something you could ship around the world and use on demand.
Isn't that amazing? You can keep these things viable for months at higher than body temperature just by mixing them with some silk. That was David Kaplan from Tufts University in the US, and he published that work this week in the journal PNAS.